One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I'm Richard Dolan, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and this is your news roundup for the week, round about the middle of July 2025. A new format, a new addition to the pod, a shorter format that gets the latest news out to you in quicker form, with later in the week myself being joined by a guest like Dan, Nathan, Pavel, someone like that, to have a longer discussion on the breakdowns around these issues and other stories. Thanks for all the lovely words from last week. And can I ask folks to hang around at the end of the podcast for a short announcement about some of the early podcast episodes from way back in 2020 and the paid feeds. But listen, let's get to the news. First off, the hearings that were due for July have been moved. Anna Paulina Luna had confirmed the House Oversight Committee hearings were going to be had in July on the subject of UFOs, UAP, but now looking like it's going to be September. I don't see anything malicious in here. It's been cited as scheduling conflicts and needing more time to prepare. Not that it isn't frustrating getting these things moved when they're announced. However, I did see some folks online confusing that the secrets task force that Luna, Burleson, Burchett and others are a part of only had a 6 months remit. They got an extension some time ago, so I don't think that really makes any difference here, folks. Stephen Bassett had commented online that, and I'll quote you, he said, "Not surprised or disappointed. The House is out of session in 10 days, returning into session on September 2nd. So again, for those of us outside the United States, that's not something I was aware of. I don't pay attention even when the UK Parliament shuts down and opens back up. I don't think these people should get time off, to be honest, in politics. They get plenty. But yeah, there we go. On the hearings though in September, I wasn't looking forward to any upcoming hearings in the sense that I may have or how I may have looked forward to them the first few times round. However, Eric Burleson left a comment online recently that got me a little bit more excited. He said, until now, the only people who have come forward didn't have first-hand contact. But in the upcoming hearing, we will focus on people who actually drove crash retrieval vehicles, handled bodies, and had direct contact. That is Representative Eric Burleson from the US House of Representatives. That's quite an enticing statement, isn't it, folks? And I know we've been here before. It can be hype. It's a bit of a sooning for those of you who know what that is. But yeah, if they can get some of those folks in, that could be one that really does grab the public's attention, which I would love to see. One of the positives with the delay is the delay may align the hearings with the introduction of bills like the Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena Disclosure Act, the UAP Disclosure Act, the Schumer-Rounds Amendment going in for its third time. So perhaps this will all work out and maybe the Age of Disclosure documentary gets a deal in time as well to get shown. Who knows? I'd probably hold out less hope for that last one. And I wonder, are you excited or expecting much from this next hearing? If they can deliver on what Burleson says, you know, people who have driven crash retrieval vehicles, handled bodies, had direct contact, that's massive. That would be great. I would be excited to see that. However, the last hearing I said at the time with Elizondo, Gallaudet, Schellenberger and Gold, it was a bit of a letdown. Initially, I was relatively happy with it, and then it quickly kind of unfolded that really there wasn't as much substance. The Schellenberger Immaculate Constellation thing kind of faded away. The Immaculate Constellation document, which I'll get to in a little bit, really was the big takeaway really from that hearing now, because that's what's really carried on and came forward. If we can get better witnesses this time, truly explosive witnesses that can move the needle, I wonder, would you be happy with a Jake Barber testifying, a Matthew Brown, a David Grush, or would you need to see some new names testifying that we aren't aware of already in the UFO community? Who would you want to see? Let me know in the comments or get in touch with the contact form on the website or via email. Another news item, Ross Coulthart really set the community on fire quite a bit, and it was really interesting going on to various different social media sites, even the YouTube, to see people's reaction to his comments. Very, very divisive around the whole Tic Tac situation. So many of you have listened to or watched the breakdown I've just done with Dan on all of this, but go check it out. But what I'm going to do is read you, when I pull the thing back up, so professional. Joe Murgia over on X had transcribed Ross's first comment that he made on Need to Know with Bryce Zabel around the Tic Tac and what he said that really kicked people off. And he's cleared it up a little bit on his News Nation Q&A show that he does now as well, which everyone sort of expected. So first off, Ross Coulthart said, this was on Need to Know with Bryce Zabel, "I now know categorically that the Tic Tac is Lockheed Martin technology. I think the Tic Tac is part of at least two different platforms that Lockheed's been working on." So that was part of the big comment that really got people riled up. And, you know, who's Ross been talking to? He can't burn his sources, of course, but it frustrated a lot of people. His second comment that he's followed up with is, and this is a little bit longer, folks, so bear with me, and I'm not going to do the accent. "What I am told, and I'm reasonably sure that this is the case, is that the Tic Tac was being operated by Lockheed Martin. And it's conceivable that that was being operated neuromeditatively or psionically by human psionic, which is what I understand is the way that these retrieved non-human craft are being operated. It's not clear to me, though, whether this is a craft that was built by Lockheed Martin or whether it is Lockheed Martin testing the use of neuromeditative signalling, as our friends at Skywatcher call it, to operate one of these craft. I just can't answer that question specifically. All I can do is tell you what I've been told by my multiple sources, which is that the operation of the Tic Tac was being controlled on that day by Lockheed Martin. There is always the possibility that sources that talk to a journalist like me may be malign. They may indeed be running some kind of psyop. And of course, I've taken that into consideration in asking the question." So yeah, that's the statements. I am hopeful, folks, of getting someone on from Skywatcher still. I have reached out again just yesterday, as I record this, it's the 15th of July, and one of the folks at Skywatcher have said there's some stuff going on in the background, but once that's all resolved, hopefully they can set something up to come on and speak on the podcast. They are pretty quiet, Yeah, so interesting. What do you think now on the Ross Coulthart comments? He's cleared things up a little bit more from the initial statement. I'd love to get Ross on in the near future. He's an incredibly busy guy with a lot of fingers and a lot of different UFO pies. And he's a reporter in general anyway. So your best shot there is keeping an eye out on Need to Know and News Nation's Reality Check show. But yeah, I'd love to know your thoughts. And I'll discuss that in a little bit more detail this week with Dan, I believe, is joining me again to go through those. On News Nation, they've released a little bit of a recap video online. I'll put the link in the description, folks, and it's worth checking out. It does say the word new in it. Now, there's nothing new if you've been following the topic closely or even listening to this podcast or others since kind of late 2024. It shows clips of events such as the Jake Barber story breaking, the egg video, which went really quiet after the initial explosive interview. And I think for most, that was potentially the big part of the story. But Barber was what became the story with Skywatcher and the follow-up there. I'd love to see or hear more about that egg video. Again, it was pretty divisive and isn't everything in this topic, but it did split the community. It split a lot of folks chatting through. Was it a balloon? Was it something anomalous? Was it something in between? I don't know. An anomalous balloon, perhaps. I really don't know on that one. But the video is at like a 25-minute clip show. Also shows the Tedesco brothers and their Nightcrawler mobile UFO study unit. It truly is the UFO equivalent of the Ghostbusters Ecto-1, but on steroids, folks. If you haven't seen much of John and Jerry Tedesco, go check out my interviews with them or other interviews like those carried out by Ross Coulthart or other folks. The Tedescos are great to listen to. They're very charismatic. I love hearing them chat. They're doing a lot of great work and they've ploughed their own money, their own retirement funds into this, and it truly is an incredible piece of kit. I'd love to get a chance to get inside one day and have a look around. So yeah, that's a cool little introduction to the Tedescos in there if you haven't seen it. It jumps back to the hearing from 2024 where we hear Arrowhead John T. Kozlowski, the big headline on the screen being "No evidence of extraterrestrials." Unsurprising, but that's a different conversation. Again, I'll ask you, the listener or viewer now, where are you at with Arrow as an entity? I had this discussion with Dan that if indeed the FBI gets the go-ahead as expected through upcoming legislation to take over the UAP or UFO investigation on behalf of the government in the United States, then does Arrow continue to be funded? Is it even required anymore? I don't see that would make sense. If anyone can fill me in on that, even from a funding point of view, if it would get defunded, I don't know. But yeah, doesn't make sense to me that Arrow would be required anymore. There are then some comments and speaking, that's some terrible grammar for me, folks, but if you've listened to me long enough, you'll have come to expect that. We see Avi Loeb, speaking astrophysicist. We get some recap on the last hearings with Tim Gallaudet, Lou Elizondo and the others. And like I mentioned, the big takeaway from that hearing has ended up for me being the Immaculate Constellation document. The coming out of Matthew Brown a few months ago, who we since found out, you know, authored the document. And again, I like to recap now and again for folks who weren't sure. If you're newer to the topic or unsure, Matthew Brown leveraged his access in defence and intelligence roles to expose what he claims is a clandestine and far-reaching UAP surveillance operation. Sparked a lot of debate over transparency, oversight, security. You really should go and check out the 3-part weaponized with Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp on Matthew Brown. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. And so far, it's probably been my favourite story to come out of 2025. I'd say more than the Jake Barber and Skywatcher stuff for me. Some of the main takeaways, if you haven't seen much on Matthew Brown, so many folks coming into this conversation all the time. He talks about a covert US government program, Immaculate Constellation, tracking UFOs using classified tech and artificial intelligence. The program allegedly had an element of monitoring cloaked or partially cloaked craft operating in Earth's atmosphere or lower. And we heard about the Russian ship being monitored and a black triangle showing up. It mentions US assets, including satellites, being used to track and study anomalous aerial phenomena globally. No surprise there. Advanced AI systems being used to analyse UAP behaviour and patterns. The project operates outside of congressional oversight, violating the law, which is a big one that I think Congress and the Senate would be looking to go after. Do they truly want to take this seriously? and bring the gatekeepers to task. A lot of high-level data about UAP is intentionally being withheld from lawmakers and the public. Whistleblowers and insiders are allegedly intimidated or silenced through threats or manipulation. And of course, submitted to Congress in that last hearing. So yeah, that was just a little bit on Matthew Brown. I'd love to hear more from Matthew Brown. I'd love to see Matthew Brown speak at a hearing just to really get that framed in a different way. Regards to that video, you might not learn anything new if you've listened to or followed this podcast, like I say, but it's not a bad video to share online or to show some friends to get them up to speed on many key events from the last 7 months or so. And to be fair to News Nation, they have given this topic a lot of views, or they've been given by this topic a lot of views and engagement. But to their credit, they have given it the airtime that most networks haven't. So it's been good for them, but I don't think it's unfair to say they have been good for the UFO topic and giving it a bigger and different platform. I don't know how News Nation is viewed as a channel in the United States. Some of you will get in touch with me and let me know, no doubt. But yeah, it seems to do reasonably well on the old online demographics and socials. Couple more news items, folks, before we wrap up. The Canadian Sky Project report. So the Office of the Chief Science Advisor of Canada has released the Sky Canada Project report, which is an extensive review of how public sightings of unidentified aerial phenomena are managed across the country. Some of the key points are the project launched in late 2022. It doesn't investigate UAPs directly. It focuses on the understanding of how sightings are reported, documented and addressed at federal level. Findings show that Canada lacks a coordinated, transparent system for handling UAP reports from the public. And despite an estimated 600 to 1,000 sightings per year, the report states only a small fraction are formally reported, with nearly 40% of Canadians unsure where to report such incidents. I'm not surprised at that, to be honest. That I don't think many folks know where to report a UFO incident, and I'll get to that in another news story in just a moment. Responsibility is currently scattered across multiple agencies, including Transport Canada, the Department of National Defence and the RCMP, that's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Most reports are only followed up if they affect national security, aviation safety or law enforcement. So the report, folks, I'll put the link for it in the description, but it outlines five critical shortcomings in the current system. Number one, no centralised platform to receive and track reports. Number two, a lack of public-facing tools for easy reporting. Number three, limited analysis. Only incidents relevant to specific mandates are investigated. Number four, minimal engagement with the scientific community. Number five, a vacuum in public education, allowing misinformation to flourish. All pretty logical, all making sense. The report recommends essentially that they should appoint a lead federal body, potentially the Canadian Space Agency, to manage UAP reporting, build a bilingual national reporting portal. That's a hard one to say. Promoting public engagement in science literacy through schools, libraries and science centres. Develop open data systems and allowing for citizen science participation and strengthening interagency and international collaboration. So the report is currently a preview with the final version due later this year. The Office of the Chief Science Advisor has committed to supporting implementation if the federal government chooses to act. So while it's not an investigation into the origin of UAPs, it's nothing like that, the Sky Canada Project report is making one thing clear. Canadians are seeing something, and the current system is not equipped to capture the data or offer answers. So the challenge now lies in building a process rooted in science, transparency, and public trust. I think that's a common sense approach there, folks. I think a lot of you will agree with that. And I think it's one of those elements of the UFO topic when you really take a step back and we want progress, we want answers. But right now, there's not really many places to even ask the questions to start to get answers. And we have to do a lot of building of foundations, I think, in various different disciplines around the world, because they're all at different levels and different places, to begin to really build momentum for the topic on a global scale for me. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? And on that, very similarly, folks, a recent mid-year report from the National UFO Reporting Centre, NUFORC, NUFORC, reveals a significant surge in UFO sightings across the United States, with 2,174 reports logged between January and June of 2025. That's a substantial increase from 1,500 reported during the same period last year. The report notes that January led the way with sightings, 561, followed closely by 356 in May, 355 in April. Sightings trend upwards during the spring and early summer months, a pattern UFORC attributes to warmer weather and people spending time outdoors. I suppose, I would wonder though, like in the winter, darker nights, clearer skies, would people be more likely to see things because they're out earlier in the day, but the skies are darker, but then the weather's not as nice. So I suppose that could be kind of swings and roundabouts, as we say in the UK. Witnesses describe common objects and shapes, including orbs, spheres, triangular craft and discs. Many accounts detail non-ballistic movement, such as zigzagging, 90-degree turns, hovering, instant acceleration, with a lot of reports involving craft that made no sound with no visible means of propulsion. Classic ufology. Sounded a bit Alan Partridge there, folks. One particularly notable case occurred in Porterville, California on the 4th of April, where witnesses reported seeing an octahedron-shaped object that glided silently, executed a sharp turn and vanished without a trace. UFORC would consider this a Tier 1 case, indicating the highest level of anomaly and credibility. You can see why. Odd shape, no signs of propulsion, sharp turns, vanishes without a trace. Yep. Ticks a lot of boxes. New York State remained one of the continued hotspots, one of the nation's most active UAP regions, with 66 sightings reported statewide in 6 months. Sightings range from suburban neighbourhoods to city skylines, with several incidents near known military installations, such as Chester, New York on March 25th. Two white glowing orbs are seen hovering before turning black and disappearing. Just in June 24th, a passenger on a commercial flight reported seeing a shiny metallic sphere from his seat hovering beneath the aircraft without movement or sound. It goes into detail on how UFORC categorise sightings as well, folks, with a tier system. I'll let you go and check those out. The link's in the description. For me, the bigger picture here are experts are saying here that the spike in reports may be due to heightened public awareness, improved mobile camera technology and more transparency in government discussions around UFOs. If it's in the news, if it's in the mainstream, January particularly, we had the Jake Barber story that was that made headlines, you know, that hit the shores of the UK as well. So more people for a short time have an interest in UFOs and are looking up and reporting. I don't even think 5% of sightings are reported for me. I don't think it's too much of an exaggeration to say sightings must go into the hundreds of thousands. And I hear from many of you who have an interest in this topic who have not reported your own sightings. Not many people know how to report them. I didn't report my sightings, and I've had a couple, as you know. So while it's an interesting indication, I wouldn't read too much into those numbers, and I don't think you can. I would say they're very much on the lower end of what would be acceptable or good. But I think that's just maybe where the public are at still with the topic. That's been the news roundup, so please hang fire just to hear a little bit more from me here. If you want to chip in on any of these, please get in touch, as I'll be recording a follow-up podcast from the breakdown with Dan a few days ago. Big question we asked at the end of that was around if indeed there is a psyop going on here. What is actually being covered up and what is being distracted from? If it's the UFO topic in general, you know, or if it's things like the Tic Tac conversation and that's where the psyop is, if it's Immaculate Constellation, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, thank you for listening to the new shorter roundup format. It's an addition for the pod, for those who don't have time for longer shows or miss the news, and it gives me a chance to get stuff out to you a little bit quicker and then get involved in the longer format shows as well. So I hope you enjoy. Please, as always, get in touch via the contact option on thatufopodcast.com or via email. All those links are in the description. Finally, some news on early episodes. You can check out, of course, this podcast on paid platforms such as Spotify, Apple, Patreon, YouTube, sign up for a membership, and it supports me directly, but it gets you early access, ad-free listening and all that good stuff too. Patreon and Apple subscribers can both take advantage of this on free trial. If you check that out, I'd be appreciated. So you don't have to pay, you can just check it out for a couple of weeks, and if you don't like it, sack it off and go back to the free versions and listen to the ads, which obviously helps me out. The first 100 episodes of the podcast, of which there are now over 600 episodes released just on the free feeds, on the paid feeds, there's members only and everything like that as well. It's not bad, is it? That's in 5 years I've managed over 600 releases. So, you know, I'll give myself a pat on the back there. Hopefully some of them are good and that's why you listen. From early August, the first 100 episodes of the podcast will only be available via the paid platforms. I'm going to go into those and clean up the audio and some stuff on the rougher sounding shows as I was kind of getting to navigate recording podcasts and things like that, folks. So I'm doing a bit of a George Lucas and polishing up the early stuff, but don't worry, I'm not CGIing Jabba the Hutt and stuff like that. I'm not editing things out. I just want it to sound a little bit cleaner. And some of those don't even appear yet on the paid platforms like Spotify, but those are going to be uploaded and I'm in the process of sorting that out. So last chance this month to check out the very early episodes before it's part of the perks for the paid platforms. So again, folks, listen, if you can sign up and support me for less than the price of a coffee each month, greatly appreciated, hugely appreciated. I can't believe the podcast got to this point as it has in 5 years. And if you're still with me, thank you so much if you've been around for the long haul. And if you're newer to the podcast, lots of great content on there. Lots of great content to come. I've been speaking to guests today and some decent names to come on the podcast that you'll know of and some you might be less familiar with. But yes, thank you so much for listening to me this long on the new Roundup format. And I'll speak to you all again this week very, very soon. My new book, Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects, is now available to pre-order wherever books are sold, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble and Waterstones. Explore the UFO phenomenon through 34 cases from throughout the world, with accompanying pictures and maps in a beautiful hardback edition or download for your Kindle. Links available in the podcast description below.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.